This week we're talking about a terrific patron of the arts, been doing it for a while, Mr. John Kaldor. I'm joined from Dictionary City by Mr. Mark Dunn to give us a little bit of a wrap on John. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Absolute pleasure to have you in the studio with us this morning. John Kaldor, what can you tell us?
Well, listen, he's an interesting character, and this is, I think, one of the good things about history in Sydney is a lot of people think history is a static place and a long time ago, whereas in fact John Kaldor is showing us that the history is ever-changing and right around us. This is a guy, he's a patron of the arts, as you said, and it's 50 years this year since he started up John Kaldor Arts Project, basically. So John Kaldor is himself, he was a migrant from Hungary after the war. He worked around Sydney and his family had like a textile business, but he was interested and his family were interested in the arts. And in his travel overseas particularly, he started to get quite an interest in public art. So stuff outside galleries, you know, in public spaces, in squares, in streets, in parks, etc.
Something that adds a little bit of life to the city, I think.
Exactly. And also brings art to, well, the public. So this is, you know, an audience beyond the normal that would go to a gallery. And anyway, he was seeing this overseas and he started to think about how the company he was with could support art. So initially it was that they set up like a scholarship or that would take artists from Sydney and send them overseas, send them primarily to Europe to learn about public art, about art, how to do art, you know, the real art, which is all overseas and in Europe. And then he just thought I saw him speak last night. He said he was in New York, he was collecting art and he sort of collected pop art and it sort of popped his mind quite literally in the mid-60s. And he then thought, well, hang on, why don't we bring them here? Why don't, instead of having to send artists overseas and get them to learn, why don't we bring international artists to Sydney and get them to show Sydneysiders more broadly what can be done.
So a little bit of our old cultural cringe back in the day,
yes,
where we weren't quite worthy. It was all the European masters.
Well, it's interesting that, isn't it? And so this is around the late 60s. So in 1969, he's approached and he's working with the artist Christo in New York. Christo and his partner Jean Claude. And Christo was into wrapping things. So this is his big thing. Now, Christo had also had a big project where he wanted to wrap a massive area of coastline, but bureaucratically that's quite difficult. And he pitched it to John Kaldor, and I'm not sure he thought if he'd take it seriously or not, but he did. And so the wheels start moving and Kaldor brings Christo to Sydney and they quite literally wrap a whole area of Little Bay, which is out near, you know, La Perouse, in this fibre and rope and wrap the entire bay. Now, 1969 is 50 years ago. There may not be that many of us who remember it, certainly not me, but you can see on the web and all the photos, you know, it's one of the most famous sort of public art projects Sydney had ever seen. And in fact, it was the first of the large-scale projects that Kaldor bought.
And see, 69, not quite my vintage, but I remember, you know, a while back seeing the images of Christo's work from all around the world. And it is striking and surreal kind of stuff, the work that he and his partner did for many years of wrapping these tremendous areas of coastline or natural areas, mountains, and doing all these kinds of bits and pieces, architecture as well, obviously. Just an extraordinary artist.
And remembering this is 1969, so the Opera House is then under construction, but it's not open for another 4 years. But I think this is a real turning point in Sydney, the way Sydney looked at art, because prior to then it was really European masters and the Australian sort of colonial scene. But Christo comes out with Kaldor. Kaldor pushes it through. Not everyone liked it. There's some great interviews of people standing out there going, what the hell is this? But as he said, it did change the way people looked at it. Anyway, so off he goes. And then for 50 years, he's bringing in big international artists as well as Australian artists over the next every couple of years to do these, in many cases, quite challenging public projects. The other one that's probably the most famous, it was Jeff Koons in 95 who did Puppy, which was the giant flowered puppy dog out the front of the Museum of Contemporary Art.
Now, again, one I've seen some terrific images of in the past and heard stories of in the past, but really the launchpad for the Museum of Contemporary Art itself.
Totally, totally. So the MCA had been there, but kind of not really, I don't know, getting into the public imagination. People weren't really engaging with it. But when this crazy big puppy dog's out the front that's got flowers, it just pulled people in to look at it. But also it switched the mindset of contemporary art in Sydney and off they went. And of course it's got the great Australian larrikinism that someone... unknown and still unknown, and I'm not doing that little thing because I know who it is, but threw some seeds of very various illicit growing plants into the thing that then sprouted all over it, which was kind of funny in itself, and also bought all the, you know, all the stuff. And then a couple of years ago, we had the Australian artist Jonathan Jones, who's a Wiradjuri man who recreated the garden palace in the Royal Botanic Gardens. He recreated out of shields, Aboriginal shields that had been displayed in that raw in the Garden Palace in the 1880s and then been completely lost in an enormous fire. So it was this very interesting, but he did it on scale. So one, you could see what this enormous building had been, but also sort of talk about Aboriginal presence and place and story and all the rest of it on site. And this is one of the things that I think the Caldor Project has done. It's been able to bring, you know, art into the public space, but actually into a particular space and get people thinking about the way the city works and moves and how you interact with it in a completely different way. Most of it because people aren't expecting to come across it.
Mm.
They come around the corner and there it is. So I think it's been a really... he's still alive, of course. So this is a history that hasn't finished, but it's one that's getting us to look at the city.
Well, it almost strikes me when we talk in Dictionary of Cinema, or certainly myself listening back, because typically I'm not behind the microphone, but listening back to it and you talk about the way people experience art, walking around the corner and experiencing art in the city. It's very much the same thing with history in a city like this. You turn a corner and you're experiencing history. History is in motion, not a static thing, as you mentioned before.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And some of these pieces, as well as some of the history of the city, they become the history of the city because these, even though Christo's long unwrapped the coast and the puppy has scampered off and various other things, they become part of the landscape of the city because people remember that.
Mm.
So you go to the MCA and people say, oh, I remember when this is. So even though these are temporary public art pieces, they actually start to imbibe themselves into the city's fabric through its memory.
That's brilliant, beautiful. I understand, though, there is a retrospective of John Calder's, involvement.
There is. So it's down at the Art Gallery of New South Wales. And in fact, it's been curated by one of the artists, Michael Landy, who was here in 2011 and did this thing called Act of Kindness, which was like a giant jigsaw puzzle of the city where people had done nice things. He's been brought back. He's an English artist. He's been brought back and he has done a retrospective at the Art Gallery of all the projects. So I think there's 35, including the one currently at the Art Gallery, over 50 years. So they're each being curated in their own individual little space. And you can go in and experience all of this again through the eyes of one of the artists who's trying to bring it to life.